The call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet of the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to, and say whatever I command you to. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will rescue you. And will rescue you, declares the Lord. The Lord then reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms, to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, my name's Nick Wheeler, and I do occasionally get let loose to preach. But I would like to just start with a quick prayer, if we can. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the power that's in it. Thank you that it is a living word, and not just letters put together on a page. And we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning through your word into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And I have to thank Helen. Oh, first of all, thank you, Samuel, for the reading. And thank you, Helen, for the first 5 minutes of the talk. No, that was superb.
You can go to the
deck. Oh, dear. Poor old Jeremiah. He's known as the weeping prophet because he had a very difficult word to speak out. And you've heard from Helen how he wasn't allowed to marry and so on and so forth. The book of Jeremiah is often seen as daunting, difficult, and depressing. I'm not really selling it to you, am I? Nah. But he did have a good message as well, which is often overlooked. Jeremiah, when you read through, spoke mostly in poetry. Now, when God speaks to people through the word, if he speaks in prose, he's speaking from his mind to your mind. But when he speaks in poetry, he's speaking from his heart to your heart. And the book of Jeremiah is God speaking his heart to his people, because his people were going away from him and he wanted to bring them back. And he's speaking his heart out. How did it start for Jeremiah? Well, we see in this passage, that God knew Jeremiah even before he was formed in the womb. And I love that picture that Helen put up there, the baby in the womb. Now, this is not the only place in Scripture where we hear this sort of thing. In Galatians 1, verse 15, Paul says that God separated him from his mother's womb and called him to be a follower of Christ and an apostle. And the next passage I'll put up, you might think that Helen and I discussed this beforehand, but we didn't. It's the short passage from Psalm 139 that Helen read out earlier, because this actually was in my Bible reading yesterday. So I think God's trying to tell us something here. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know full well. And then David, who wrote this psalm, goes on to say, all the days ordained before me were written in your book before one of them came to be. In other words, God already knew what he had in store for David well before he was born. And then in Ephesians, Paul says, and I've written now a different version here, so I'll read it from here. Paul says, he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us before him, before the creation of the world. That is just incredible. When God revealed his name to Moses, he said, "I am." And in English, that loses a lot of its meaning. But in the Hebrew, it's much clearer. I am now, I am then, I'm in the future. It's all the same to God. To God, all time is now. God is now. God's 100 years ago. God's 100 years in advance. It's too difficult for us to understand that. Our brains are too small. It's like trying to teach a dog the offside rule. You're just never going to get it, you know? God knew all of us before we were born. He knew all of us before our parents were born, and their parents, and the parents before them. He knew all of us before he even created the world. I find that just mind-blowing. So since God knows everyone even before they're born, does this mean that he has a plan for each of our lives? And if he does, how does he let us know what that plan is? Big question, huge question. We can only really touch on it this morning. But there's one or two little things that I would like to look at. So if we look at the passage again, God knew Jeremiah before he was born. He knew that Jeremiah possessed what God wanted to use during this very difficult time for Israel. So knowing this, he set Jeremiah aside for this particular task. Jeremiah's call was to be faithful to the word of God. He was not called to succeed. He was only called to speak the word. And for us, well, God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses, our abilities and limitations. He knows our hearts, our innermost thoughts and feelings. And he has appointed us to become more like Jesus as we follow him. It's up to us whether we accept God's appointment or not, just as it was up to Jeremiah. In my scripture reading today, I read that every soul with Christ is a missionary, and every soul without Christ is our mission field. The call for us as people of God is to simply live and be faithful to the word we have received, trusting God that he will take our inadequacy and use it in ways that we have not even dreamed or imagined. Our mission field is the people that we come across in our daily lives. A few weeks ago, I was at the third week of the Keswick Convention. And interestingly, some of the talks touched on this very subject. In the first evening meeting that I attended, the speaker said that life doesn't work very well without a plan. And our plans often fail. But God has a plan that will never fail. And his plan is, oh, it's like one of those talent shows, isn't it? His plan is holiness. It's a word that's often misunderstood and maligned. Being holy is being set apart for God. Not living as the world would have us live, but as God would have us live. Holiness is about taking on the family likeness, becoming more and more like Jesus, because we're adopted into God's family. The speaker also said that God loved you before you were born, and he will always love you, and that's just a wonderful thought. And if God loves you, you can depend on his love, whatever circumstances you find yourself in. Another speaker said that holiness, the holiness of God, is too difficult for us to understand. His power, his purity, his truth, his love. And I was just waiting for him to say our brains are too small, but he didn't. We ought to take time to contemplate the holiness of God. In our passage today, we read how God set Jeremiah apart for a task, to be a prophet to the nations. Now, this doesn't mean that Jeremiah was especially holy in the way that we think of being holy. He may not have been a particularly good person, and he certainly wasn't perfect. But God knew his heart, and he knew that he could use him for his purposes. So how about you? How about me? Can he use us for his purposes? God wants to use you and me to do his will. So often we have great plans of what we want to do, and we ask God to bless them, and it's right to do so. But isn't it better to tap into God's plan? I'm expecting the answer yes, but how do we know what God's plan is for us? Wouldn't it be wonderful if he just sent us an email or a text, or for the older ones amongst us, a letter? Couldn't he send someone to tell us what he's planned for us? Could he appear to us in a dream or actually physically speak to us? Well, for most people, God's guidance doesn't come as a bolt of lightning from the sky, or a booming voice from heaven, or a vision of them leading thousands to Christ. It doesn't come as a burning bush. But sometimes it just starts with a gut feeling. What some people refer to as an inner witness in your spirit. Maybe you hear something in a sermon that hits you hard and sticks with you. Maybe you read something in the Bible that really speaks out to you. Or maybe you just have a conversation with someone and realize that God is leading you in a certain direction. However God may speak to you, the one key is for you, for us, to be open to do whatever God is leading us to do. As a disciple of Jesus, you have a calling. Jesus summarizes the commandments like this: we're to love God, that's the first and most important thing. We're to love others, that's the second. And we are to go to make disciples of all nations. For each of us, this will be worked out in different ways. But just start serving, and the next step will follow and become clearer. Of course, God might be speaking to you in some way, and you don't like what you're hearing. Or you think you're not able to do what he's asking you to do. Just look at Jeremiah in this passage. "Alas, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am too young." And as Helen's told us, it was estimated he was somewhere between 17 and 20 when this happened. When God called him, his first response was that he couldn't do what God expected of him. He was too young. Now, in Middle Eastern culture, wisdom and discernment are seen to come with age. Experience counts for a lot. The old are revered. So Jeremiah had a good point. He was young, he was inexperienced. He wouldn't be seen as wise in the eyes of those he spoke to. What he failed to realize is that human ability, human strength and power are not the means by which God works. It's through the power of God at work in us, often inadequate people, that we see God working. It's not our power, it's his power. God's purposes require God's strength and presence, not human skill and wisdom. The reluctance of Jeremiah is not unique in the Bible. Moses, when he was called to deliver Israel from Egypt, didn't think he was able to do so. And of course, Gideon famously put out fleeces to make sure that God really meant for him to lead the people. For Jeremiah, the task seemed too difficult for one so young. And it was a relevant objection. But God insists on his right to call young people and to use them if they will listen to his call and answer him. It's a shame we haven't got too many young people here today. they could do with hearing this message. In the Bible, we see that God used David when he was just a young man. And we know that God filled John the Baptist with the Holy Spirit when he was in his mother's womb. How about that? And God used Timothy as a young man. Yeah. A few years ago, I heard the testimony of a woman called Jennifer Reese Larkin. Has anyone heard of her? Yeah, a few people, yeah. She developed ME as a young mother and was told that there was no cure. Her health gradually deteriorated. She's a Christian. But she believed in God for her healing. And she used to go to meeting after meeting of famous people who had healing ministries and got prayed for. And things just got worse and worse. And then one day she was at a meeting and she was talking to a young girl who had just become a Christian, literally only a week or two beforehand. And this young girl said to her, "I believe God's saying that you're going to be healed." And of course Jennifer's saying, "Yes, I believe that as well. I've been to all these people, they've been praying for me, I've never been healed." So then this young girl went to her pastor, who was also at the meeting, and she said, "I think God's telling me that Jennifer's going to be healed." And the pastor, in his great wisdom, said, "Pray for her." And she said, "Well, I can't do that, I'm too young, I've just only just become a Christian, I don't know the right words, I don't know what to do." And he said, "God has given you the message, you deliver it." And that young girl prayed for Jennifer Reese Larkin. And Jennifer had been in a wheelchair for weeks, got out of her chair and never got back into it. She walked out of that meeting healed. That is God using a young person, even a young Christian, to do his work. You're never too young. You're never too old. You're never too weak. If God is calling you to do something, do it. Sounds simple, doesn't it? I've gone right off my words here now. Never mind. We can't understand why God chooses the people that he does to do the tasks that he calls them to do. All we know is that he is God and he knows best. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. Has God called you? Then he will fulfill his purpose in you. He will equip you. He will enable you. He will protect you. And he will accompany you. Are you obeying his commands? Then he is with you to protect you. Are you sharing the word? Then he will accomplish his purposes no matter how people respond. Now I would like to finish by reading a story that I heard at Keswick. So I apologise to Caroline and anyone else who... Yes, you've heard this before. Anyone else who may have heard this. But I believe it shows that God can and will use whoever he chooses to do his will. And this is a story about a 3-year-old boy that he uses. And it is based in America, so apologies for that. Like any good mother, when Karen found out that another baby was on the way, she did what she could to help her 3-year-old son, Michael, prepare for a new sibling. They found out that the new baby was going to be a girl. And day after day, night after night, Michael sang to his sister in Mummy's tummy. He was building a bond of love with his little sister before he even met her. The pregnancy progressed normally for Karen, an active member of the local church, and in time the labour pains came. Gone on too long. Soon it was every 5 minutes, every 3 minutes, every minute. But serious complications arose during delivery, and Karen found herself in hours of labour. Sorry to any ladies here who have been through the same thing. Finally, after a long struggle, Michael's little sister was born, but she was in very serious condition. And with a siren howling in the night, the ambulance rushed the infant to the neonatal intensive care unit at the local hospital. As the days inched by, the little girl got worse. The doctor had to tell the parents there was very little hope. Be prepared for the worst. Michael, however, kept begging his parents to let him see his sister. "I want to sing to her," he kept saying. Second week in intensive care, it looked as though a funeral would come before the week was over. Michael kept nagging about singing to his sister, but children were never allowed in intensive care in America. I don't know if it's the same in England, but apparently that's the case. Karen decided to take Michael whether they liked it or not. If he didn't see his sister right then, he may never see her alive. So she dressed him, I've just got a picture in my mind here, she dressed him in an oversized scrub suit and marched him into ICU. He looked like a walking laundry basket. The head nurse recognized him as a child and bellowed, "Get that kid out of here now. No children allowed." The mother in Karen rose up strong, and the usually mild-mannered lady glared steel-eyed into the head nurse's face, her lips a firm line. "He is not leaving until he sings to his sister," she said. And then Karen towed Michael to his sister's bedside. He gazed at the tiny infant losing the battle to live. In the pure-hearted voice of a three-year-old boy, Michael sang, "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are grey." Excuse the singing. Instantly, the baby girl seemed to respond. The pulse rate began to calm down and become steady. "Keep on singing, Michael," encouraged Karen with tears in her eyes. "You never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away." As Michael sang to his sister, the baby's ragged, strained breathing became as smooth as a kitten's purr. "Keep on singing, sweetheart." "The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms." Michael's little sister began to relax as rest, healing rest, seemed to sweep over her. "Keep singing, Michael." Tears had now conquered the face of the bossy head nurse. Karen glowed. "You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Please don't take my sunshine away." The next day, the very next day, the little girl was well enough to go home. The medical staff called it a miracle. Karen called it God's miracle. God can use anyone, even a three-year-old boy. There's much more I could say about the short passage. And there was a lot more I was going to say, but I'm going to leave it there. If you feel God is asking you to do something, if you have this feeling in your spirit that there is a task that you're being called to do, but you feel totally inadequate, good. God is not looking for someone who has it all. He's not looking for someone who's perfect, who's confident in their ability. The main ability that the Lord is looking for is for your availability. God knows your personality, your character, your strengths, and your weaknesses. He knows you better than yourself. So be bold, be strong, and just let God. Thank you.